Is it on? All right.
If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23, that's where we're going to have our text this morning. And I have to admit, there's always two things that I'm concerned about when I get up and talk. One is, for most of you who know me, you know I'm a little bit of a smart aleck, and I get somewhat concerned when I get up in front of a group of people and that I'm going to have an ill-timed joke. Especially in a setting like this where it, is somewhat a detriment to God and maybe loses some of the sincerity of what I have to say. And I'll tell a parable of a couple weeks ago. I was in Farmington, New Mexico, and I got to fulfill a bucket list item of attending cowboy church. And I was asked to lead the closing prayer, and I made the major faux pas of asking everyone to remove their hat and bow their head. You don't ask people in cowboy church to remove their hat. So the preacher, to lighten the situation, or just to make fun of me, I guess, took off his hat and revealed that he had the hairstyle of John Kilgore, short on the sides and shiny on top. And so he looked me right in the eye and put his head down a little bit and looked back up again and said, "How does my part look?" And not one to be bested, I looked at him, I said, "Well, sir, it's a little hard to tell. It appears you left most of your hair in the hat." And I feel that might have hurt the sincerity of my prayer 20 seconds later. And then secondly, I do travel a lot, and so I hear a lot of very good points, and so I do get concerned sometimes that I'm going to take a point you've heard very recently and apply it to my lesson, If you'll look past both of those things, if I happen to commit those, I would appreciate it. Let's go to God in a quick word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, as we begin to study your word this evening, please help us to be focused and to listen to the words of Joshua as he speaks to the children of Israel, that we may be able to apply lessons to our lives this morning. I pray, Father, that you help me to get out of the way of your word, and that the clarity and the meaning gets to all of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapter 23, we're going to have a bit of an extended Bible reading this morning. I always like to have context, and I think Joshua's whole lesson to the people of Israel is very important here. And so I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, and I promise that I will make up for the long Bible reading by a shorter lesson. So it's Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. "Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And he called for all of Israel, the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers, and said to them, 'I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who fought for you. I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. And so you shall possess the land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from the right hand or to the left. Unless you go among these nations that remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their God, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you can chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they into you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps for you, and scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from the good land which the Lord your God has given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. And all have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that all the good things that have come upon you, which the Lord God promised, so the Lord will bring upon you harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, to Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwell on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought for you, but I gave them, they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went to the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, and the two kings of the Amorites, but none with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of vineyards and olive groves of which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river of Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did the great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went among the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua in this time has given essentially two lessons. He's almost given two different speeches here to the people of Israel. If you read further down, we realize that Joshua, he knows he's at the end of his life, and he's lived 110 years. So he's come to the end of his life. He knows he's about to go on, and he wants to leave some final words of wisdom for the individuals that he is going to leave behind. And I want to draw 3 points that I took from Joshua's lessons to these folks, and hopefully they can apply to us. First, I want us to pay attention to who Joshua puts at the center of attention. Remember, Joshua is the one who's going away. If you read back the whole history, he is a fantastic spiritual leader. He is a great military leader. He has been a real blessing for the children of Israel. He was Moses' lieutenant, and then he became and is now the leader of Israel. So he has chosen not to make this about him or his conquests or all the things that he has done, but he has put the correct emphasis on God. And a key point for that is, I'm going away, but there's no worries for you folks. Don't worry about it, because it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with the previous leaders. It all has to do with God. If you look in both of the lessons that he gives, he very quickly diverts attention to God and what God has done for them. He says, God has done all these things for you, referring to driving out the people of the nations that they were about to take over. God has fought for you. And in chapter 24, the first 13 verses, he goes through a history of what has happened to the children of Israel. Takes them all the way back from Abraham, and I think he emphasizes some key points as to God's personality of what has happened there. You know, he talks about Abraham. And the people are obviously going to be very familiar with Abraham, just as we are familiar with George Washington. But he tells Abraham, you know, what does he tell Abraham after he almost kills Isaac? Your descendants are going to be as multiple as the stars in the sky. If you're sitting there as Abraham, you're thinking, I've got one son. I'm not going to have all the stars in the sky. And yet the children today, the children of Israel who are listening to this, are saying, that's right, here we are. That promise has been fulfilled. So Joshua is talking about the patience of God, that he is enduring, and he does have a plan. I think in some aspects he talks about the peculiarity of the way that God works, and sometimes we don't understand that. Can you imagine being the children of Israel and you're enslaved in bondage to the people of Egypt? How can you be the children of God and enslaved to someone? I think most of us would be rather taken aback if we were asked to be enslaved to a group of people. It just doesn't make sense. But he's trying to show them that God has a way. And he talks about how powerful God is. You know, God brings plagues. He parted the Red Sea. He's destroyed nations only for the children of Israel. Joshua is taking them through their history here and having the history focus on, it's not me, it's not the other leaders, it's always been God's hand that has shepherded us through the time that we've been together. So why does he put God at the center of what has happened? He wants them to understand, in my opinion, that it doesn't matter who your future leader is, because nothing you have done is because you've earned it. You currently are in a city or in a land that isn't yours. You didn't build the city. You didn't plant the crops. And yet you're getting to enjoy it. That's by God's hand. It wasn't me. It was only God. And second of all, I think he's pleading with them to keep on going. You can see all that we've done all the way up through here, and this is where we are now. I'm about to leave, and you need to finish the rest. So he's imploring them, even though I'm going away, the God, our Lord, our God, is not, and he'll continue to be with you. And that'll bring me to my second point. Joshua talks to them about the Lord your God has taken you all this way. But before you make the decision to say, I'm going to stick with God, you need to realize that the God that they serve and the God that we serve is not an and God entity. In other words, God is not happy for us to serve God and something else. It doesn't work that way. What Joshua tells the people is you can serve God or you can serve someone else. Those are your two options. And I think he knows that he obviously says that some of these folks have already made that decision. They have entered the land of Canaan, and they are already serving other gods. You know, he says that you need to expel them from among you. And just as we have today, Joshua has told them, you all have got the choice. You can or you don't have to. But remember, this is the one who got you here. And I just have to imagine sitting back as Joshua, you got to think about the foolishness that he thinks he sees in these people here. You know, they've been around to see a lot of this, and so they have come up, they've heard all these stories, they can hear all that God has done, and they've taken over the land of Canaan, and what do? Well, now they start serving their gods. I think, how foolish is that? You know, if it's a battle of gods, we just beat you. And now, you just leave them there, and you worship them, or you're ambivalent towards them, whatever. I don't think it makes a difference to God. You know, the instructions were to get them out of the area. I hate to use a sports analogy, but I'm going to because I'm the one preaching. In the NFL, in the Super Bowl, two of the last 4 years, the New York Giants have played the New England Patriots. And if you were to watch only those two games, you would know, I should say, that the New York Giants have beaten the New England Patriots both times. And if you were to watch only those two games and you had suited up with the New York Giants and you had won both games, it is like making the decision to say, I'm going to be a Patriots fan because of those two games. I mean, you've lost them. And Joshua is sitting here thinking, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong that you are worshiping these idols? You know, the jealousy of God does not permit divided loyalty. He does not permit you to worship him and something else. And I would say that in our lives today, we are probably not tempted into worshiping other gods or idols. I don't know that many of us struggle with worshiping a Buddha or with worshiping Muhammad or whatever the other entities are in today's religion. But I do think we have the temptation, quite a lot, to worship ourselves. And, when I read this book in Joshua, I think Joshua goes fairly light on the individuals. If you turn to Galatians, I quite like the pointedness of Paul when he is speaking to the Galatians about setting their priorities. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or the angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and I will say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Either or. And if you go into chapter 5, starting in verse 19, Paul lays out some very specific ways in which we can serve ourselves. And starting verse 19, it says, Now the works of the flesh are evident, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 24, it says, "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." You know, you read through those things where they're fairly selfish. If you go through that list in chapter 5, 19 through 21, they're very selfish things. And they don't often present themselves as torturous items. They often present themselves as fun or feel-good items. And that's where we have to be careful. And Joshua is saying to these folks here, it is God or something else. It isn't going to be both. So you've seen the God that has taken you all the way here. He's done great and marvelous things. And now you've got to make the decision. Are you going to stay with this God, or are you going to go on and do something else? And the final point that I'll make this morning is, before you make that decision of whether it's going to be God or something else, let me remind you of one thing, that just as faithful as God has been with his blessings to the children of Israel, he is going to be just as faithful with his curses to the children of Israel. And I think that point bears reading again in chapter 23, starting in verse 14. It says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know, and in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass, not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised, the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." You know, to the extent that you believe Gallup surveys, there was one done a couple of years ago that was a survey of Americans. And 77% of Americans believed that there was a heaven. They believed in the positive afterlife. But if you take that same 77% of people who believe in heaven, only 58% of those folks believed in hell. So in other words, we've morphed the image of God so much that about 40% of people who believe you can go to heaven don't believe you have any chance of going to hell. God is really only a rewarder. He'll do good for you when you've done good to him, but if you do bad to him, you know, no big deal. And you think about that, and you think about our culture today. I mean, if you go into bookstores or inspirational shops, you know, you see a lot of happy images of God shining his light down on us, or two sets of footprints walking along the beach. But you don't often see Ananias and Sapphira laying on the ground after having been punished for their sins. That's not what sells. The happiness of God, the blessings of God, that's what sells. That's what makes people come in the doors. But Joshua warns his people here, just as faithful as he was with his blessings, look out for his curses. At 110 years old, Joshua is saying, I have not seen one thing that has failed that the Lord God has promised. They've all come true. And so the question I think maybe he's asking the people here is, do you really want to take the chance that the part of the bargain he's not going to hold up is the punishment? I think that's what he leaves them with. You know, as people today and people back then, we can't just focus on the parts of obedience that we like and ignore the parts that we don't like. It's all of it, whether we like it or not. If you go through that list back in Galatians of some of the sins of the flesh, you can't say, I got most of them, but I purposefully let other ones slide because I was doing really well in the others. You just can't ignore it. So if you want to go ahead and get your songbooks ready, then I'll finish up. So I want to finish on a high note. Because remember what Joshua said was, "As for me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And the people of Israel repeated that they also were going to serve the Lord. Joshua took them through this whole history that they had. So look at all the things that God has done for you. And they could see, yes, he's done a lot for me. We can see that same pattern, and we can look around this room today and say, God has done a lot for all of us in this room. I don't know that anybody would try and debate that point. He's done a lot for us. And so just like the people of Israel, we have the choice today. We can serve God, or we can serve something else. It doesn't really matter what that other thing else is, because it isn't God. But the great thing that we have is the promise of a blessing if we serve God. And so I encourage you today or this week to think about and maybe recommit yourself to serving the Lord and serving all that he has asked us to do, and committing yourself to be a full-fledged member of Christ. If you have any needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.